The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 to 8. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the sun rising over Judea's hills was ushering in the world's first Easter Sunday. Its first rays had dispelled the darkness of night. One of the earth's greatest days was dawning. As we look, we see a number of women hastening along the way near Golgotha to the garden which belongs to Joseph of Arimathea. They have with them a good amount of sweet spices. Filled with sadness and sorrow, they are wending their way to the grave of Christ that they might anoint his body for final burial. On Good Friday, there was too little time left for them to attend to this matter. The Sabbath had begun just shortly after Christ was taken down from the cross. Only the most necessary preparations could be made then. Now they wanted to finish what they had to leave undone on Friday. Sad events which had happened on Golgotha had enshrouded their minds and hearts with dark clouds of bitter sorrow. It was night in their soul. They forgot all about the Saviour's promise that he would rise again. To get an idea of how this sadness affected them, let me call to your attention to the fact that they had given no thought to that immense stone which had been placed in front of the sepulchre. Not until they were nearing the grave did one of them think of it, and she realised that they were not able to remove it. How startled and astonished they must have been when they noticed that the stone was rolled away. But just imagine how much greater their amazement must have been when upon entering the grave they saw an angel of God who had come from heaven to deliver the first Easter message to them. Oh, how their hearts must have leapt for joy when they were told that Christ was no longer in the grave, but that he was risen. This message of the angel is the true Easter message. It shall engage our attention today. Under the gracious guidance of the Holy Spirit, let us dwell upon the twofold Easter message. May the Lord bless a meditation. Firstly, come and see. A very natural effect upon the women who entered the sepulchre, all aroused by the fact that the stone was rolled away, and now seeing the heavenly messenger with a countenance like lightning and with clothing white as snow, was that they were filled with fear and trembling. The angel assured them, however, that they need not fear. He knew that they were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He was well aware of the fact that they were expecting to find him still cold in death. But he had come to announce to them that he was risen from the dead. In order to encourage and convince them, he urged them, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." What they saw there was to assure them that Jesus was alive again. And what was it that they saw? We ought to be eager to know, for we too should come and see. We cannot go bodily to the grave near Golgotha. We can go to the record of Holy Writ and there see what the women saw. What we see in Scripture is just as certain as though we stood right at the grave with the Galilean women to behold what they beheld. Holy Scripture brings God's account of what actually happened on that first Easter day. First of all, the woman saw an empty tomb. They'd carefully watched on Good Friday how and where the body of Jesus was placed. But when now they eagerly looked at that place, they discovered, to their consternation, that the body of Jesus was missing. Had Christ's enemies stolen the body? That thought must have worried the disciples. Mary Magdalene, who was among those women who came to the grave at that very moment she saw that the stone was rolled away, hurried straight back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples about it. "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then she rushed back again to the garden and looked into the grave. It was when she turned to look around that Jesus appeared to her and asked her why she was weeping. She even hinted that he might have been guilty of taking him away and told him frankly, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I'll take him away." This shows that the disciples must have suspected something like this. Could this not be the case? Let us note that the women saw a grave which was left in splendid order. The burial clothes and linen napkins were carefully laid aside. Had there been a theft of the body, the thieves, knowing that there was a guard at the grave, would never have taken time to lay clothes aside in such good order. Furthermore, the very fact that there was a guard at the grave dispels the thought of possible theft. Again, the women saw the messenger of God, and he declared to them that Christ was risen, as he said. That was heaven's message to remove every semblance of doubt. All this evidence was sufficient to convince them that the resurrection had actually taken place. Their beloved Saviour was no longer in the realms of the dead. Though death had fastened its grim fetters upon him, though it had done its very worst and rendered him a corpse, though it seemed on Good Friday as though it had won the decided victory over Christ and destroyed every ray of hope, Christ had now torn its fetters into shreds. He had triumphed over the ruthless foe in that terrible battle. He had torn open the terrible jaws of the grim monster and had come forth again alive. Though the women had not seen the resurrection itself, they saw overwhelming proofs of it. Yes, they were given assurance that they would actually see him with their bodily eyes. The proof was most convincing. It dispelled the dark gloom and the bitter sorrow which had filled their hearts. They believed the message of the resurrection. They saw not merely with their bodily eyes, but above all with the eyes of faith. This faith was strengthened all the more when on their way to the city the Saviour appeared to them. "Come and see" is a message which is proclaimed to you today. Take your Bible and read what God has told you about the resurrection of Jesus, who went into death for your sake. God has furnished a great mass of evidence to convince you that Jesus Christ the crucified has actually risen from the dead. The angel proclaimed it. Individual disciples saw him. More than 500 saw him at one time. The disciples ate with him. They talked with him. They touched him. They saw his nail prints. Even doubting Thomas, who went around for a whole week and would not believe the reports about Christ's resurrection, was so convinced that he cried out, as we read in John chapter 20, verse 28, "My Lord and my God." I say, come and see. You can convince yourselves. There is abundant evidence. At the beginning of the last century, Sir Gilbert West and Lord Lyttelton, two prominent writers of England, were determined to do something which would suppress the gospel. It seemed to them that the two main things which must be disproved in order to accomplish this were the conversion of St. Paul and the resurrection of Christ. Gilbert West decided that he would refute the resurrection of Christ, and Lord Lyttelton set to work to refute the conversion of Paul. At the conclusion of their work, they met again by appointment. West asked Lyttelton, "What is the result of your work?" He replied, "I fully investigated the narrative of the conversion of St. Paul and am satisfied that this man, on his journey along the Damascus highway, really saw Jesus of Nazareth, and that this Jesus was the very Christ of God." Gilbert West stated, "I've thoroughly investigated the resurrection of Christ and have come to the conclusion that he who is said to have come forth from the sepulchre of Joseph's garden was, as he claimed to be, the veritable Son of God." These men could not accomplish what they had set out to do. The evidence was too convincing. It was overwhelming. It can convince you and me. You might as well deny that the sun rose on that day as to deny the resurrection of Christ. But there is more for you to come and see than the mere fact of Christ's resurrection. Remember that Jesus Christ entered death as our substitute. He had to come to atone for our sins. That is why he had to die. He was bringing his blood and his life as a sacrifice to the throne of God. The very fact that he came forth again proved that his sacrifice was sufficient. God is actually satisfied. We have been redeemed. We are now reconciled to God. Furthermore, in order to save us, sin, death and the devil had to be overcome. Christ entered that battle for our sake, and he fought unto death. By his resurrection, it proves that he has gained the victory. I want to emphasize that he did this for us. God himself teaches you to say, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" But thanks be to God, who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, since Jesus rose from the dead, he can surely raise us on the last day as he has promised. He is our resurrection and life. Because he lives, we shall live also. We have just heard some of the fundamentals, facts of our Christian faith. You can convince yourselves by dwelling on the resurrection of Christ that they are firmly established. Simply, come and see. Secondly, go and tell. The Easter message, secondly, directs us to go and tell. The angel told the women that they should quickly go and tell the disciples. The disciples were still groping about in a gloom of sorrow. The darkness of despair was hovering over them. They were sad when they should have been glad. The women now had the very news which could dispel all gloom. They should go and tell the disciples that Christ the crucified is risen again. They should go and tell it to these men who had not deserved such news. They had acted shamefully. They had forsaken Christ at the crucial moment. Peter had even denied him. The women had been out to Golgotha, but of the 12, only John is mentioned as having been there. None of them had taken interest in Christ to attend his burial. That was left to strangers. Even now the disciples were hanging their heads. They acted as all hope was gone. But to these men, the women should tell the news of the resurrection. One of the evangelists, Mark, even records in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Peter gets a special mention even though this man had so shamefully denied him. Again we know that they should go quickly and tell it. The very fact that they knew it should move them to hasten to bring the good news to those who needed it desperately. Go and tell is a message which Easter impresses upon us also. If we ourselves have heard the glorious victory which Christ has gained for us by his resurrection from the dead, if we know that this has been established beyond all doubt, namely, the certainty of our redemption, if we are convinced that sin, death and hell have been overcome and that salvation is now a reality, if we are assured that all men may have part in it by faith in Christ, then this very joy which we ourselves have experienced ought to move us to go and tell it to others. Tell me, can it be otherwise? Where true knowledge of this wonderful fact dwells within our heart, there will also be a burning desire to let others know the glorious truth which will dispel all gloom and sadness for them and fill them with the assurance of eternal life. And we have many opportunities. Do you know of some person who is troubled and filled with sadness? Go and tell him that Christ has risen from the dead. Assure him that this is firmly established, the great work of his redemption. Do you know of someone who has forsaken Christ and is wandering about in the uncertainties of life? Go and tell him that Jesus, who was crucified for him, is risen indeed. Tell him that Christ is seeking him. Do you know of a person who has never heard the message of salvation and is living in ignorance and darkness and is heedlessly traveling the way that leads to destruction? Go and tell him that Christ is risen and that he has established also his salvation. Tell him to turn to his risen Redeemer and be saved. We have in our country many people who know nothing of Christ. You and I know that Christ is risen from the dead and that Christ's work for us has thereby been firmly established. Is it not the great ignorance which prevails on earth as to this truth? A mighty challenge to us to go and tell what we know. We have the message which can save the sinner. Without this message, he is hopelessly lost. Without it, he definitely can't be saved. Can we be selfish and indifferent about this? Does not the wonderful resurrection of our Saviour, which today causes our hearts to leap and our lips to burst forth into anthems of joy, move us to go and tell? Does not the wonderful and blessed resurrection of our Saviour, which today causes our hearts to leap for joy and lips to burst forth into shouts of triumph, move us to go and tell? Does not your Easter joy increase when you realise that God grants you the privilege of being his co-worker in proclaiming the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection? When you yourself have experienced the blessedness and the joy of the victorious Easter message, must you not resolve to support mission work and Bible distribution? Does not today's news of Christ's victory for all mankind move you mightily to go and tell? May God graciously grant that you and I may personally rejoice today from the very depth of our heart. The Easter message furnishes abundant cause for joy. Let us swell the anthems. Let us sing praises unto our Saviour, who has procured indescribable blessings for us. Filled with the exuberant Easter joy, let us address ourselves to the task which God has set before us. Let us faithfully perform our duty towards the millions who need the joy of Easter as well as we need it. May every one of us come and see and then go and tell. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.